So we're thinking this morning about perseverance, perseverance in prayer. I suppose we're thinking about praying things through. On the whole, I don't think we're very brilliant at this as Christians. We wonder why we have to perhaps bring the same matter a number of times. Well, we'll just sort of begin to think this through then by looking at a number of people in the Bible and also some scriptures. So here's one that Jesus shared with us. These are amazing promises. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? It's progressive, asking, seeking, knocking. It's gaining a bit more in intensity as it goes through. And it says this is for everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks. Here's the actual scripture. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's very straightforward language from Jesus in this respect. A story's just popping into my mind. Because I wonder whether there's something about not letting go of God in the relationship that we have with him. I think one of the most astounding stories that I heard was one about Yonggi Cho. Yonggi Cho is the one who leads that very large church in South Korea. And at one point, his son died. I don't know how old his son was at this point, but not a small child. His son died. And so Yonggi Cho wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have it. So he just sat by his son and cried out to God until he came back to life again. Because everyone who asks receives. And I suppose there's something there about a knowledge of God which says, this is what I want, God. I mean, this is difficult territory. I realise it's difficult territory. And you might know the story about Smith Wigglesworth, whose wife was really important in his life and one of the strengths of his life, actually. I think a bit of his mentor before he sort of found Christ and helped him throughout his life. Anyway, she died. Smith Wigglesworth said, I need this woman. And he cried out to God and she came back to life again. And she said to him, I'm sorry, the Lord wants me. And she died again. Now this is heavy stuff, but I'm just trying to illustrate that I think there's something about, I think relationship with God's at the bottom of it, whereby we come to him and call out to him about really big things that are important. See, connected to that is probably this word in James when it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So back to these other two people, they are so attached to God and convinced of God's connection with us and his hearing ability, that they don't ask in doubting. They're asking in faith. They really believe what they're talking about. But I think it comes out of relationship. Perseverance can mean an extended time in one session or many sessions over a long period of time. So here we are. It might be this morning there is something before us and we decide that we're going to talk to God. And so for half an hour we talk to God together and we believe that God's heard it. It's done. There might be other issues and we regularly come to God about that matter because it doesn't leave us. The spiritual energy in us to pray about this particular thing, and so we stay with it. I suppose one of the things that might be relevant to that is the area of our nation. there are people that have been praying for our nation for quite some time. You might be one of them. I'm one of them. And you pray not necessarily the same words, but you have the same sense of need that you bring to God about it. I think I shared a story on another occasion where the leader of Open Doors now, Brother Andrew, decided that they wanted to see a change in the communist world, and they called their movement to pray, and they were going to pray for 7 years for the communist world. And before the 7 years were up, the communist world had actually changed. So some things are done, you know, in the moment, and others are prayers that we pray over and over again. I imagine there are some things in your life in that way. Probably family members might be connected to that, or our work life. So how long have you been praying for certain things? Maybe you're not a long prayer. Maybe you're somebody who says, if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'll pray about something else. Or I'll give up on praying. But what about this area of perseverance? Ask, seek, and knock. So I want us to think about some people now in Scripture. I'm sorry that this language is so tight on the screen, but let me read this to you. And Elijah said to Ahab, this is the time where there hadn't been rain on the earth for quite some time. Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. Ahab is the king, Elijah is the prophet. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servants. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode to Jezreel. So it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, but now was the time for it to rain again. And the prophet saw it, but he had to pray it into reality. He saw it, but he had to pray it into reality. And he went back 7 times to pray the same prayer, presumably. And then eventually it was only the size of a man's hand. But then the rains came. So we're talking about perseverance here, perseverance in prayer. Now there's a story in Daniel chapter 10. And where Daniel had offered a prayer to God, and he prayed it for 21 days, several times a day, until the angel of the Lord broke through. There was a warfare in the heavens, and he got his answer. And I think in that story it says, actually the Lord heard right at the beginning, but such was the warfare, then the answer to him didn't get through. So there's a warfare context. It's a very interesting chapter. You may want to look at it at some point. And it talks about a principality. It talks about a prince of Persia who's sort of extending powers over particular nations. And such is the power, the evil forces that are at work, that the prayer was harder to get through. But he battled on 21 days, and there was the answer for him. The Lord Jesus. Jesus prayed for 3 hours in the garden before he broke through and was able to face the cross. He went away 3 times, if you remember. Comes back to talk to his disciples, but they're sleeping. Why did he do it 3 times? Is it for his own benefit, so that he knows that I can now face this? Was there something happening in his own life? I'm sure there was as well. What's going on in your thinking as I'm talking? Are you thinking, this is totally outside my experience? My prayer life isn't very good, actually, unfortunately. You might be thinking to yourself, or you might be saying, I'm right in the heart of this at the moment. There's something that I just need to keep battling on in prayer about. So does God change his mind when it comes to prayer? Does he change his mind? Can we change God's mind? Are the things that are happening that are maybe happen if we don't pray about it, but if we do pray about it, God will change his mind and bring an answer? This is difficult territory as well. Well, my answer to that is this. He does change his mind, but he doesn't change his will. God does change his mind, but he doesn't change his will. What do I mean by that? Well, God's will is that he wants to bring blessing on the earth. His first will is blessing. If people don't live by his purposes, then there are alternatives that happen to that. If you don't do this, then this will happen. So the people of Israel, for example, it was said many times, you need to do the right thing as an Israelite nation. If you don't do that, then there'll be judgment and you'll go into exile. That's what happened. But his first will, his will is always blessing. His will is always blessing. But as a result of that, we can move into other territory. But we can change God's mind. You see, it might be that because of the way a particular nation has acted, then he's going to bring judgment on that nation. But our prayers can change his mind about that. His first will was blessing. They've acted wrongly. Therefore, there's judgment. But through prayers, we can change the Lord's mind. Now, the Bible says this in different places. So, for example, there's Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18:20-33. Such was the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah that God was going to destroy them. But there's Abraham. You remember Abraham's prayer? If you don't, let me remind you of it. Abraham said to God, again, this is relationship-centred. If you can just find 50 people in Sodom, then you won't destroy Sodom as a whole. God says, okay. If you can find 50 people, 50 righteous people, I won't destroy it. And then it's a nice prayer, actually. It goes on, it's quite funny. He just tries to get it lower and lower. So 40, then 30, then 20, and then 10. If you can just find 10 righteous people in Sodom, then you won't destroy it. God says, I won't destroy it. You see, he's changing his mind if he finds those people. No, actually, he couldn't find 10. He could only find Lot and his wife and their two daughters. The men that the two daughters had married, they wouldn't leave. But they started to leave, and you might remember the story. It says Lot's wife turned back, and when she turned back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Good stuff, this, isn't it? So just three of them eventually. But if there had been 10, then the whole of Sodom would not have been destroyed. Because we can change God's mind. I think there's judgment on our land here in lots of ways. So our prayers can change the situation. God will be perfectly just in doing what he wants to do. He's free, he is God. But we can bring some change into that through our prayers.
Peter?
Yep.
Would it not? I just wondered if there's another way of looking at that. I mean, presumably God would have known how many people there were in Sodom. So by planting a high figure, was he perhaps just testing Abraham?
What's a high figure?
Well, it started with 50.
Yeah.
And eventually it got down to 10.
Yeah.
God would have known how many were there.
Yeah.
So by allowing Abraham to chop him down bit by bit, was he perhaps testing Abraham?
I haven't quite got your point yet. Keep going, though. I'm sure other people are getting it, but I'm not getting it.
Maybe I'm not explaining very well.
You mean God knew that only 4 eventually would come out?
Yeah, so why say 50 to start off with?
Because he didn't say 50. Abraham said 50.
Oh, okay.
No, Abraham said 50.
Right,
yeah, Abraham said 50, yeah. Okay. So this is Moses and the facts of them building the calf, that golden calf at this point. Moses had gone away. He'd only been away 6 weeks. He'd only been away 6 weeks. They'd just come through the Red Sea. They'd seen miraculous things taking place in Egypt. And now Moses is nipping off to get the Ten Commandments. He's only away for 6 weeks. 6 weeks! And they've gone back and they're all worshipping the golden calf. Such is the fickleness of people's lack of real commitment to good things. And so when he gets back, he wants to sort of, you know, finish them all off, Moses does. But then in his heart, he starts to pray for them. And God saves them. He saves them. He changes his mind of what he's going to do. And the classic story is Jonah in Nineveh. And because of the wickedness within Nineveh, it was an Assyrian city, it was very, very wicked. Jonah's word is to go off and to say that God is going to destroy this place in 40 days, I think. And as a result of that, Jonah goes and preaches to them, but he doesn't want to go and preach to them, if you remember rightly, he doesn't want to preach. And eventually God changes his mind and they do repent, and so Nineveh is saved, and Jonah is really unhappy about it because he would prefer that God had destroyed all the Ninevites. But because they'd repented, God changed his actions. I'm nearly finished. Why do some answers take so long? Why do some answers take so long? About three or four reasons here. Three or four things that this might be the case. There's probably more, just ones that I've been thinking of. The first thing is God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Things happen appropriately to the time that God wants them to happen. You know, I'm constantly being asked by people from other churches who know something about our church and our building project. What's happening with the building project now? I'm absolutely sick of going through the story. And I sometimes tell people this now, I say, actually, I'm just fed up of talking about this. I really am. But I have more energy about it at other times. But I was talking to somebody the other day and I just said, it's in God's perfect timing. Whenever this comes off, it will be the right time. And there'll be reasons for that. It's not that we haven't prayed. I think we've done what we should have done. I don't think we've reneged on things in the way that we should have done. So therefore, it's in his perfect timing. And often we see that in hindsight. I think secondly, we are changing and our character is being built. See, the process of prayer isn't just for God and for these other people, it's about us. You've heard that expression, prayer changes us. And the process of talking to God, he builds fresh things into us along the way. It's not wasted time, it's good time. Because ultimately we're here not just for our service and not just for answered prayer and not just to go on nice holidays, but we're here to become like Jesus. And then the third thing is God at work in others as well as the principal person being prayed for. So, you know, here I am, and I'm praying for Elizabeth, because she's such a wayward sinner, and she's not coming to the Lord. But, see, actually, her mother and her father and her grandfather and her best friend, you know, God's actually got plans for these people as well. And they are interacting with Elizabeth, and ultimately, he's wanting to do something in their lives as well as in his Elizabeth's life. And that happens sometimes. We sort of see that taking place, that the ramifications of what we're praying for, you know, reach other people and places as a result. God at work in others as well as the principal person we've been prayed for. And then spiritual warfare. Why does the matter take a long time? Well, because there is a spiritual battle taking place. There are evil forces in this world, and they are strong and they need to be overcome. Now talk to me then. Any thoughts that are just in your minds as a result of that? You might want to just share a personal story as well, and then we're going to do something else for a few minutes.
Mine's kind of like the idea of God changing his mind, but then it's been explained to me before where God is kind of like outside of time, which is why I don't know like what's going to happen, what's been happening, what's happening all at the same time, and all like mind-blowing weird stuff. So then I struggle with changing his mind? Because surely that was in his plan anyway, because he's all-knowing and would know that he would change his mind. So are we actually changing his mind, or was it actually his plan?
I understand what you're saying. It's complicated stuff, isn't it? I think it's dynamic. You know, just as you can be persuaded, and I know we're talking about God's will here, just as you can be persuaded by a person's involvement with you and passion, I don't think God is some isolated, cold being. You know, we're touching someone, you know, who has feelings, and so it's that sense of interacting with God. Your bigger question is a harder one, I think, to get hold of. Because God knows it anyway, that's true enough. But rather than him being some sort of static being who knows everything, we've got to get back to this relationship all the time, I think. Oh, yes. Well, that's in Matthew chapter 6, where it says, don't be like those. It's really the ritualistic type of going through the book. You know, they're not really heart involved in it. They're just babbling and stuff. We're talking here about, you know, prayers that are on our hearts that we, in sincerity, are bringing to God through relationship with him.
And some prayers that God will just not answer.
Yep. Yes, that's true.
So you can keep praying and praying and praying. Yeah. I just kind of found occasion that actually he won't answer because he wants me to do something about it rather than just relying on some spiritual solution. I will learn and grow by my actions. Any easy way to detect whether you should stop at some point?
Well, I don't think we should ever. I think it's always prayer and action. So, you know, endeavouring to bring the thing about ourselves in God's strength isn't a bad thing to keep working at as well. And in the process, you probably realise whether it's his work or our work, you know. And, you know, I think he would show us that. I thought you were going to say, and I didn't touch on this, is that there are some things that are just against God's will. You know, maybe I would like to, whatever it might be, you know, a hundred things we could think up now, which are just things that are just selfish, not good for us, and we could pray forever about them, but we're never going to get them. And we've got to get revelation that that's just not the right thing to be praying about. But for things connected to his kingdom, which he has revealed in Scripture, you know, connected to his kingdom, I think we can pray those things really strongly. And what I think about healing is that we pray for somebody's healing until the Lord tells us to stop. Again, this is complicated, but I think we can get to a point where, you know, the Lord just simply says the healing in this case is death. But until that, pray, and I often say, in your graciousness, God, hear this prayer, you know, hear the prayer for this person to be healed. And again, through the relationship, we'll probably know whether it's right to keep praying that or not.